Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today our topic is not going to be something that's very, very hot, something that's very controversial, but rather I want to talk today about biblical contentment. I think it's fair to say that we all would like to experience God's grace of contentment, peace, satisfaction in the Lord, where our souls are saturated in God's word, in God's love. I think it's fair to say that we would all like to experience biblical contentment. So today's topic, though it's not a controversial hot topic, nevertheless, I think today's topic is very, very relevant. Wouldn't you agree? So as we begin, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And as you're making your way there, let me ask this very pointed question. Have you been experiencing true biblical contentment as of late? In your home, your place of employment, amongst family and friends, in your church, when you're all alone by yourself? Have you been experiencing true biblical contentment? This topic is something that I recently taught to our congregation during our weekly small groups that we have throughout various days during the week. We've been studying the book of Hosea, and I took a break this past week in going, you know, into the next chapter of Hosea. And instead, I said, let's talk about biblical contentment. The reason being is because if you know anything about the book of Hosea, we see how God's people, the Israelites, how they had been blessed by God, chosen by God, blessed by God. God betrothed himself to them. He had rescued them out of bondage in Egypt. He had faithfully provided for them and protected them in the wilderness as they made their way to the promised land. God graciously brought them into the promised land, gave them victories over all the pagan groups there. The nation of Israel was truly blessed, and Yahweh was their God. Yet, as we are studying in the book of Hosea, we see time and time again how Israel committed harlotry, zanach, whoredom against Yahweh, where the nation of Israel was chasing after her lovers, false gods that the pagans there in the promised land were worshiping. And you ask the question, wait a second, why in the world would Israel chase after false gods when Israel had the unspeakable privilege of being betrothed to the true living God of Israel? What happened? Israel lacked contentment. She wanted more. She wasn't satisfied with all that she had. She wanted more. She allowed herself to be seduced by the other pagan groups. She allowed herself to be deceived, thinking, man, it might actually be a little bit better for me out there with them, rather than being close with Yahweh. Israel lacked biblical contentment. And my friend, the same thing can happen to you and to me as well. As born-again believers, we are so blessed by the Lord. We've been chosen by grace, redeemed by grace, regenerated by grace. We are kept by grace. God provides for us. God protects us. We have the unspeakable privilege to be in a saving relationship with the God of this universe. He hears our prayers. He comforts us in our time of need. Christian, we are the most blessed people there are. Yet, be honest now. Have certain things out there in the world been suddenly pretty attractive to you? Have those things that those people, non-believers, have those things, what those people have been doing, has that suddenly caught your attention? Created a bit of an interest or an attraction for you? And have you found yourself drifting away and starting to enjoy the things in the world? If so, you've been lacking biblical contentment. So today I want to show you what Scripture says about true contentment. Here in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, the Apostle Paul is writing to a young pastor, Timothy, whom Paul had mentored for years. Timothy, who was kind of struggling with being a pastor in that church in Ephesus, the congregation was turning against him. There were false teaching elders on the elder board who were making Timothy's life miserable. And Timothy wasn't feeling a lot of contentment. In fact, he actually was considering to throw in the towel, to just give up on being a pastor. And Paul says to Timothy here in verse 6, but godliness actually is a means of great gain when accompanied by contentment. Would you please underline the following words in verse 6? Godliness. Pursuing holiness, pursuing Christ-likeness, bringing glory to your triune God, godliness. We're told that it's great gain. It's a massive profit when you pursue godliness, because look what God pours out on a person who pursues godliness. End of verse 6, contentment. And there's your gain. Godliness leads to contentment, which is great, great gain, right? And so what's the goal? What was the goal Paul was telling Timothy to pursue? It wasn't try to have a bigger church, try to raise more funds. No, it wasn't. Timothy, quit and go find another pastor. No, regardless of Timothy's circumstances, Paul reminded Timothy that there's one goal. It's godliness. Pursuing holiness, Christ-likeness, all for the glory of God. That's the goal. Not only for Timothy back then, but for all of us as born-again believers today. But, unfortunately, the world we live in, there are so many other things out there vying for our attention. So many things that we can actually confuse with being the goal. Pay raise, bonus, promotion, nicer car, bigger house, and the list goes on and on. Now look, there's nothing wrong with being financially blessed by the Lord. There's nothing wrong with that. But notice, it needs to come from the Lord. Your goal is always the same, the pursuit of godliness. And whatever the results the Lord brings from that, that's the Lord's business. And if he blesses you with a job promotion, a higher pay, nicer car or home, praise the Lord. Bring glory to the Lord. But those things cannot be our goal. or goals. Godliness is the goal for the people of God. I mean, think about it. When you have a race, a 100-yard dash in an arena or coliseum, you've got the runners, they all line up. What's the goal? Simple. The finish line straight ahead, right? Well, let's say all the runners get into the starting block. Suddenly the gun goes off and only one of the 10 runners is running towards the right goal. The other nine, they're running all over the place like chickens with their heads cut off. One runner says, no, the goal's up there in the stands. Another runner says, no, the goal's out there where the concessions are. Another one says, no, the goal's, back in the locker room. They're all running and pursuing goals, but they are pursuing the wrong goals. Who is the only one who's pursuing the right goal, and who is the only one who is going to receive a great gain? The one that's running towards the finish line. Well, Christian, that analogy can be carried on into our lives here today. Our goal is the pursuit of godliness. Don't be like the other nine runners and start to chase after other things that you think are goals, because you're going to be running around like a chicken with your head cut off. And you will not experience biblical contentment. Why? Again, verse 6. Godliness brings the gift or grace of contentment from the Lord, because you are pursuing the Lord's goal for you, not the world's goal for you, not even your own concocted goals for you. You're pursuing God's goal for you. And guess what God pours out upon you? His peace, His joy, His contentment. And the result? Great gain. Because as Paul went on to say to Timothy, verse 7, look, we brought nothing into this world, so we can take nothing out of it either. But if we have food and covering, I think we can include shelter as well. With these, we shall be content, because our goal is not a bigger refrigerator or more clothes. Guys, it's probably fair to say, those of you listening to this message, you probably have more food in your refrigerator and cabinets than you're ever going to eat. And you probably have more clothes in your closet than you even know you have, right? In all likelihood, where you're sitting right now, you have a roof over your head. How great is that? And as you pursue God's goal for you, godliness, and He pours out His gift of contentment upon you, there's your great gain. And then you start to be thankful for the roof over your head. You start to be thankful for clothing on your body and food in your belly. You're not trying to keep up with the proverbial Joneses, right? Because you have God's gift of contentment. Godliness is the goal. God's gift to those who pursue godliness, contentment. And the result is great gain. Soul satisfaction in the Lord. Regardless of the result, regardless of the circumstances in your life, you have God's gift of contentment. So be honest, over the past week, have you been focusing on God's goal for you, Christian? Or have you been running around chasing all kinds of other goals? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, a verse you're all very familiar with. Philippians 4:13, where the Apostle Paul makes this incredible statement where he says, I can do all things through Him, through Christ, who strengthens me. This is a very, very well-known Bible verse. but one, unfortunately, that has been so ripped out of its context. I see a lot of athletes. They have adverse tattooed all over them. You know, guys will get on the microphone, you know, before, let's say, a football game and say to the reporter, listen, I'm trusting in my Lord. I know I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to get 3 touchdowns today. Is that what Paul meant when he said that? No. You need to understand the context. Go to chapter 1. Let me see if I can help you understand it. The Apostle Paul was in prison in Rome under house arrest because he was faithfully preaching truth about Christ. And what did he get for it? He was put in Roman prison. He was imprisoned. Again, it was house arrest, but he was chained to a Roman soldier. He was surrounded by other Roman soldiers. Well, this letter to the Philippians, Paul was writing to the Christians in the church in Philippi because they were worried about Paul. They heard he was put in Roman, he was imprisoned in Rome. Now, the church in Philippi, Paul had planted during his second missionary journey. Philippi, up in the northern part of Greece at that time, region of Macedonia. The Philippians loved Paul. He had been their pastor. And so when they heard that he was in Rome under house arrest, they were obviously concerned. And look what Paul says to them in verse 12 of chapter 1. Now, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances, i.e. imprisonment, have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Time out. Paul, have you kind of lost a little bit of your your thinking here? Wait a second, Paul. When you had been free and where you were going everywhere and preaching about Christ and planting churches in the name of Christ, Paul, yeah, then the gospel was spreading. But Paul, how can you say now that you're locked up in prison? How can you say that that which has happened to you has actually served for the greater advancement of the gospel? He answers his question, or our question. Verse 13, he says, you know, my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard. In other words, while Paul was handcuffed to a Roman soldier, what do you think Paul was doing? Pursuing the goal. Godliness, right? And he had the opportunity to preach truth about Christ and to represent with his attitude and actions what a true follower of Christ looked like. And the gospel spread in that very place where Paul was locked up. He said that the whole Praetorian guard heard the gospel. Not only that, he said, not only has the gospel become well known throughout the whole Praetorian guard, but also to everyone else. People were coming to visit Paul. Again, he had that, I don't want to say luxury, but the ability for visitors to come see him. He was preaching the gospel to them. No doubt those visitors, as well as some of the Praetorian Guard who had trusted in Christ, they were taking the gospel now outside of that place where Paul was in prison, and they were spreading the gospel. And not only that, verse 14, Paul says, most of the brethren, i.e. believers, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, now have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Other believers throughout the Greco-Roman Empire who had heard about the great apostle Paul, he was in prison, yet Paul wasn't whining, Paul wasn't complaining, Paul was pursuing godliness, God had poured out contentment on Paul, which was great gain, Paul was preaching Christ, Paul was representing Christ. They heard about it and they said, wait a second, if Paul's showing that boldness and that courage while in prison, the believers are saying, look at us. We're free. What are we doing? And they started to be more courageous and bold in preaching the gospel, and the gospel spread. So you understand, again, verse 12, when Paul said, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren trusting the Lord because of my imprisonment have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Kind of sounds like Paul was experiencing biblical contentment, right? But of course, whether Paul was free and preaching about Christ in a church, or whether Paul was imprisoned in Rome, handcuffed to a soldier, he was preaching the truth about Christ, because whether Paul was in prison or whether Paul was free, the goal never changed. He was pursuing godliness, and God was pouring out peace, joy, and contentment. And that was great gain for Paul, regardless of his circumstances. In fact, go to chapter 4. This is what he says to the Philippians. Verse 10, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now you, the Philippians, at last have revived your concern for me. They had heard Paul was in prison. They wanted to send help to him, maybe a care package or whatever. Took a little longer. Again, back then, they didn't have planes and trains and cars. So Paul says, I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now, at last, you've revived your concern for me. They finally were able to get help to Paul. Indeed, he said, I know you were concerned for me before, but you lacked the opportunity. And then look what he says in verse 11. Not that I speak from want. Amazing statement. I mean, I think it's fair to say that where Paul was locked up, it wasn't a five-star hotel. It's not like he was having food delivered to him on a silver platter. And yet he says to Philippians, you know what? Thank you for what you've provided, but I don't really need anything. I'm not speaking from want. What do you mean, Paul? He says, I've learned to be content. Notice, by the way, you need to learn. It doesn't come naturally for us, does it? He said, I learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am in. Well, if the goal always is godliness, whether you're free or whether you're in a Roman prison, guess what? The goal doesn't change. He said, I learned the secret of being content, pursuing godliness, regardless of your circumstances. Verse 12, I know how to get along with humble means, like he was experiencing at that time. I also know how to live in prosperity. Not that Paul was a multimillionaire, but prosperity, meaning he was free. He was able to go out and preach the gospel. He wasn't in prison. He said, in every circumstances, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. What's the secret, Paul? Verse 13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Do you see the context where Paul makes that statement? A little different than what you hear today of how that verse is ripped out of context. Paul was experiencing true contentment because Paul was pursuing godliness. And he wasn't focusing on his circumstances or even the results of what was going to happen or maybe not happen. He had peace and joy and contentment in the Lord because he knew that in Christ, he had all that he needed, all who he needed, right? And there was true peace and contentment. Go to Psalm 131. Let me see if I can get you this and maybe one more verse as I close. Psalm 131, this is from King David. You want to see a picture of contentment? He says, O Lord, my heart is not proud, nor my eyes haughty. I'm not trying to become somebody, Lord, that you've not created me or called me to be. Nor do I involve myself in great matters or in things too difficult for me. Surely I have composed and quieted my soul like a weaned child rests against his mother. My soul is like a weaned child within me. Hope in the Lord from this time forth and forever. You see biblical contentment? Parents, you know what you've done when your little baby was crying. Moms, what would you do? You would take your child and just press that precious child up against you. And suddenly that child would stop crying. Why? Because that child felt peace, contentment, safety, security in your presence. Isn't that the same thing when we pursue godliness? Go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5, and I'll conclude here. Big time warning from Solomon. You know Solomon, who had everything but lacked contentment? Well, now Solomon's writing after the fact. He had learned a very big and painful lesson. And now he's giving some very strong biblical advice in the power of the Spirit. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, as I conclude, verses 10 and 12. He who loves money, if that's your goal, will not be satisfied with money. No contentment. Nor he who loves abundance with its income. Why? Well, Solomon says this is vanity. Why? When good things increase, you know, more and more money, more and more material things. Guess what else increases? Those who consume them increase. How true is that? Because you think it's going to keep coming. It's never ending. You've got more choices, more options, and you're just saying yes to everything. So what is the advantage to their owners except to look on and just watch everything slip through their fingertips? But verse 12, the sleep of the working man is pleasant, whether he eats little or much, contentment. But the full stomach of the rich man does not allow him to sleep. My friend, I started this message by asking the question, have you been experiencing true biblical contentment in your recent past? I will conclude this message with this question. Would you like to start experiencing true biblical contentment in your life? If so, focus on God's goal for you. Pursue godliness. And trust him to pour out his great gift of grace and of contentment. And my friend, regardless of your circumstances, you will be experiencing great gain from the Lord. That's true biblical contentment. May all of us pursue godliness and all for the glory of our triune God. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at pastorandrew@aol.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.